This is an audio recording for session 6 of CCT 693. What we've been doing this last session and this session is using the evaluation clock to focus in on how you would show someone that some action you're taking, some specific action, had the positive effect that you wanted to. In other words, made the change in some criterion that you specified. Preferably specified beforehand so you're not just cherry picking that things worked afterwards. What we're doing here is a narrowing in stage, a focusing in stage, where many things in the action research cycles and epicycles are getting you to expand outwards to look at a wider range of considerations. So these might seem to be contradictory, but in a way they're in tension. You have a larger realm of considerations. The actions that you're taking usually are plural, but still you don't want to use that as a fog to avoid looking at how you would actually tell whether a specific action were having an effect. So that's what the evaluation clock is trying to get you to do. And a specific part of working with an evaluation clock is to analyze the data. Let's say you've got a before and after comparison. In the smoking case, that was some measure of lung function before the smoking ban and afterwards. And you want to say, is the difference something we should be paying attention to? And that's where statistics comes in. In earlier incarnations of this course, there was a lot of statistical analysis. In this version of it, we just spend this 10 or so minutes running through the basic logic of basic thinking of statistics. The idea is that most of you just need to understand that idea so you can then go and get a statistician, someone who loves to know exactly what test to do and what computer program to do it on and so on, to do the work for you. So this course is not teaching you to do that statistical work. Maybe some of you have already done courses in that, but often you've done it like recipes without fully understanding the underlying thinking. So in the next 5 or so minutes, I'm going to try to run through my version about what you're doing when you're doing statistical analysis. This is captured on the page that's called statisticalthinking.html. So I'm just repeating basically what's there. The first thing you have is a population of individuals, where population means individuals that are subject to the same causes that you're interested in. There may, of course, be some background causes that you can't manipulate. I mean, people in a population aren't all identical, but they're in the background. So for some measurable attribute, those individuals in the population have varying responses to these background causes. And you then have observations of the measurable attribute. In other words, not all the individuals are the same on the attribute. And you have that for two or more subsets, or in statistical terminology, samples of the populations. Then the central question that you're doing in statistical analysis is to say, are these subsets really subsets of the same population? Or are they sufficiently different that we suspect they come from different populations? Meaning that the causes of interest are different in the two cases. So this population in the smoking case would be the bartenders. And although it's the same people, before the smoking ban is after the ban. You know, in other words, they've got the same names and perhaps wear the same clothes and so on. Are they really the same people when we're thinking about the causes that affect their lung function? So these people with the same names could actually be in different populations, and we're going to try to use statistics to test that. So the central question in statistical analysis is, are the subsets sufficiently different in their responses that you doubt that they're from the one population? Statisticians answer this question with recipes that are variants of the comparison between one subset and another in their average response, but take into account that the responses vary, are spread around that average. So you look at the averages and you say, are those averages very far apart? And someone says, well, I don't know what very far apart means. It depends on how much you have a spread around that average. So if you have a large spread around that average, then the difference might not seem to be something to write home about. If you have a very small spread around each average, then even a small difference might say, look, these are from different populations. So in the file Statistical Thinking, I have two diagrams that try to illustrate that idea. Now, if you decide that they're not sufficiently different, they could be part of one population, then that's another way of saying, at least for now, you don't think there was anything different before versus after. It may be that there was something different, it's just not big enough for you to be really confident. On the other hand, if your statistical analysis says, no, these differences are enough to make me doubt that we're talking about the same population before and up versus after, then the statistic stops there, but your inquiry doesn't. You then have to investigate further, drawing upon other knowledge about the subsets. And in this case, with the smoking ban, we know that there was a smoking ban. And we have ideas that smoke has particulate matter in, which irritates your lung. And so, you know, the statistics hasn't proven that it's the particulates or how the particulates work. But it's given that we don't have any grand ideas about anything else that changed before versus after, we conclude that the smoking ban was probably the causes that were involved in these two populations being different, meaning the population of the bartenders before the smoking ban and the bartenders after. But as they always say in statistics, correlation is not causation. So the statistical analysis gives us good reason to start looking for causes, but it doesn't tell us exactly which things are the causes and how they worked. That's something we have to investigate in other ways. So that's a basic line of thinking of statistical analysis, and you can reread it in that statisticalthinking.html and then try to make sense of what you learn in your statistics courses or how to approach a statistician and what they tell you that they can do. But everything is, from my experience, everything is a variant of what we just described here. But before I go, what I want to point out to you is that if statistical analysis says the situation you've got in hand is not sufficiently different from another one that we suspect that they're different populations, in other words, if the smoking ban the bartenders after the smoking ban, their lung function was the same as before the smoking ban, or not very different, not different enough for us to say that they're two separate populations. That still doesn't mean that doesn't mean there are no causes going on to the lung function. You know, we may say that the smoking ban didn't make a difference, but it doesn't mean that the lung function of the bartenders is just something that's given as part of the human condition. To give another example, sometimes people say, oh, there's a high rate of leukemia in this town. And someone else comes along and says, yeah, but compared, there's always variation in leukemia outbreaks and in leukemia incidences from one area to another in the country. And this particular place is not sufficiently far away from the national average for us to say we've got to look for different causes. Okay, we might not look for different causes, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be looking for causes for childhood leukemia. And, you know, maybe that the whole country has a higher rate than it used to have back before their nuclear power plants or something like that. You know, we might be looking for another comparison, not just between this particular city and the national average, but this national average versus what it was like before we had a lot of chemicals or nuclear power radiation or nuclear power waste and so on. So statistics doesn't, if we don't show us a significant difference, using this statistical thinking, it doesn't mean there are no causes involved in the world. Anyway, that was a long footnote, and the basic lesson is these five steps in the statistical thinking. And just as a final footnote, when you do the statistical analysis on the data from the smoking ban clipping, it definitely turns out to be statistically significant difference. You can even see that by eye if you put the figures down in a table. Okay, so the main activity for session 6 is to digest what I've just said about statistical thinking, but to work with other students to try to get a good handle on the evaluation clock. If you didn't get a good handle the first time, if you're still having trouble with any of the technology like wiki uses, or if the KAQ didn't work out well for you, you got your comments back and you didn't put things in the right boxes or the same boxes the instructor would put it in. And so there's an opportunity to get help in this session from someone who had a better handle on it. So I hope it goes well. Thanks a lot.